The New Testament from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, reading from verse 42 down to chapter 16, verse 8. We're continuing our study of the life of the Apostle Peter in the Gospels. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. It was preparation day. That is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We pray that God will bless his word as we have read it together. Of the Apostle Peter. And we're coming to the end of our series of studies of his life in the Gospels. I want to speak briefly this morning on one of what I think is the loveliest phrases in the whole Gospel. Two little words. These words are found only in Mark, not in any other Gospel. They're words that Peter had remembered, and that Peter would never, throughout all his life, forget. We turn to Mark chapter 16. It is the first day of the week after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And as three grieving women come to the empty tomb, they are met by a shining angel. And this angel gives them a message for the disciples. The angel says first to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. see the place where they laid him. And then the angel gives the woman a message for the disciples. Go tell his disciples. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. What a wonderful message that was. Tell his disciples that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. He has risen. You're going to meet him again. But in the middle of that message, there were two extra words. Go, you find them in verse 7. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. And Peter. And it's those two words that we want to think about this morning. And Peter. Usually I divide up what I have to say under various headings and try to analyze it and explain it, but I feel this morning that it would be inappropriate to approach these words that way. They're not so much to be analyzed as to be listened to and understood. So we have this morning a brief meditation on these two words, and Peter. How unhappy Peter must have been. He hasn't been mentioned in Mark's Gospel since chapter 14, verse 72, where we're told that he broke down and wept. He had denied his Lord, his beloved Master, and Christ Jesus had died on the cross. Peter had no opportunity to speak to him, to meet him, to tell him that he was very, very sorry for what he'd done, to ask for his forgiveness. And now it was too late. He had let Jesus down. Terribly. Inexcusably. And Jesus was gone. And throughout those hours we can imagine Peter saying, I never was able to speak to him. I never was able to tell him that I was sorry. I never was able to ask him if he would forgive me. And now he's gone. And then the message comes, he has risen. He has come back to life. And he wants his disciples to go to a particular rendezvous and meet there with him, that he may take up again the relationship which he had with him. But I wonder, did another thought or fear come into Peter's heart? I think it did. He wants to meet the disciples. But will he want to meet me? Will he still count me a disciple? Will he want to have anything to do with someone like myself, a traitor and a coward and a denier? Have I not put myself outside his grace and his forgiveness? Have I not made such a mess of my life that I am beyond the power of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus to care for me? Have you ever felt like that? Did Peter ask himself, is my sin so great that the Holy Son of God would want to have nothing to do with a person like myself? He wants to meet the disciples, but they're all good men. They didn't curse and swear, I did. They didn't deny their Lord publicly, I did. He may have hoped that he saw mercy in the eyes of Jesus as Jesus looked at him in the judgment hall of Pilate. But he wasn't sure, for they hadn't spoken. He was risen. He wanted to meet the disciples, but Peter felt shut out, excluded. And so Jesus sends his angel with a personal message to Peter to reassure Peter of his love and his concern and grace. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Tell his disciples and Peter. Now, it wasn't a private revelation. It wasn't a word just for Peter and for no one else. It was the same message that came to all the disciples. The one word for them all. But Peter's name was written specially in the invitation. Go tell his disciples and Peter. As if Jesus was saying, Peter, this is for you. I wonder what those two little words meant to Peter. I wonder how he felt as he sat there in the grip, guilty, unhappy, miserable. And they heard the news of the resurrection. And all the disciples were so happy, but Peter in his heart was fearful and excluded. And then suddenly he heard those two words. And Peter, go tell his disciples and Peter. It must have cast a whole flood of light and hope and joy into his soul. Does Jesus still speak like this to his people? Does Jesus still send personalized messages? Does he still put your name and mine in his word and bring it home to our hearts with power? For we can be very like Peter. Like Peter, we have times of sorrow, times of great loneliness, times of fear and anxiety about the future, times of heartbreak, times when we feel isolated and burdened and weighed down. Like Peter, we too have times when we feel guilty, excluded. I know that there are promises of forgiveness, we say, but are those promises for me? I know that God loves his people, but am I one of his people? I know that there is cleansing in Christ, but is my sin too serious, too deep for Christ to cleanse? God does not send us visions. He does not send angels from heaven to communicate with us by his direct speech. And yet it is true that again and again his word comes to us individually with a very personal emphasis and impact. It's the same word that is for everyone. And yet suddenly it comes to us with power. Perhaps you're reading the Bible or singing, and suddenly one particular verse or phrase seems to jump off the page in letters of fire and touch you in a new, powerful way that it has never gripped you before. And you realize that in that verse, God is speaking to you very, very personally and definitely and specifically, that while the word is for all, yet that word this day is for your need. Or perhaps you're listening to someone preaching, and to your amazement, the preacher deals with the very issue that you have been concerned with in your own life that week. He doesn't know about it. He doesn't know what you've been thinking or experiencing, but he speaks as if he did know. As if he was inside your mind, inside your home, listening to your private conversations. And the word is crafted as exactly to your need as that. Perhaps he sometimes even echoes phrases that you have said that he could not possibly know. That's Christ putting your name into that verse. Go and tell his disciples. And tell Peter, especially, I want you to tell Peter. And you know in that moment that this cannot be of man, but that this must be the Lord God speaking to you. That he is your name on that particular truth, on that particular verse or portion of Scripture. The angel came to these women and he said, tell the disciples and Peter. Now you may not have realized that I am in fact an angel. Some of you may have wondered if I was. You may have said, that man's a real angel. But I am an angel. The Greek word angel simply means a messenger. Someone who brings God's news. And I bring God's word to you today. Now I have no authority to put the name of any one of you in any part of God's word, because I don't know your minds. Only God knows that. But we have something far better, because the Holy Spirit does it often. And I know, for many of you have told me, that often God has spoken to you through preaching in a way that I did not plan for or understand or anticipate. That's the exciting thing about preaching. That's the thrilling thing. That we're aware that there is a mind and a power beyond my mind, beyond your mind. God has a message. God has something to say to you. And he has his own ways of convincing you and me that it is for us and for us alone. As I prayed for the service this morning, it thrilled me to the bottom of my being to hear, as it were, the voice of God saying to me, go and tell his disciples and then all your personal names. I wonder what God's word to you today is. God's word that he has commissioned me to bring. What does he want you to hear as an individual? Perhaps there's someone here today trembling on the brink of belief in Christ. You've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior. You know you should. You know you should. You intend to, but you haven't yet done it. Perhaps God is saying to you today, put your own name in. This is the day. This is the day to trust Christ. This is the day to commit yourself to him for all time. Perhaps someone needs assurance of forgiveness. Perhaps you said or done or thought something this week and your conscience has been wounded and you've lost any sense of closeness with God and joy of the Lord. God wants to come to you today and say to you, I will forgive you. I will forgive you. If you, and he puts your name in the verse, if you confess your sin. I am faithful and just, and I will forgive you. Yes, you, your sins. And I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Perhaps someone here has almost given up on the Christian life. You're still a Christian. But you feel you've been knocked down so many times that you've grown discouraged and perhaps a little bit cynical. Your hopes haven't been realized and your dreams have come to nothing. And God says to you today, I can do a new thing in your life. I can make a new beginning for you. I can help you to pick yourself up and to start again. Perhaps someone is just simply tired, weak, painful, suffering. And you need God to come to you today and to promise you his strength. To say, my grace is sufficient for you. And to put your name in that verse. Perhaps someone simply doesn't know what to do. And you have a difficult decision to make and you're perplexed and you just don't know what you should do. God says to you today, I will guide you. I will instruct you and teach you. I will show you my ways. I don't know. I don't know what you need to hear from God today. But I do say that whatever you need to hear of grace and strength and forgiveness and blessing in Christ, it is all there for you. If you will listen. My friends, put your own name in the scriptures. Every scripture is for you. We're not guardians. Karl Barth was a German theologian who taught that the Bible only becomes the Word of God when it jumps off the page and punches you in the nose. That it has the potential to become the Word of God. That whenever something really grips you and makes an impact on you, then in that moment it is the Word of God. Now that's not true. It's the Word of God, whether we believe it or not. It's the Word of God to you, whether you believe it or not. The whole word is for you and me and for all of us. And yet on the other hand, there are times when from that word there is a special word. And that's what we need to keep listening for. God's word to me. As you come here every day, listen for God's word to you. What does he want you to hear? Why has he brought you here? Why has he spared your life and brought you here today? What does God want to say to you? Listen for that word. Look for that word. Wait for that word. And then when you hear it, believe it and receive it to yourself. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Then after this, there was a private meeting. And just two people were there, Peter and Jesus. We don't know anything more about that meeting. We read in Luke 24:34 that the disciples simply told people, "The Lord has appeared, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he appeared to Peter. I don't know when that was or where it was. And I'm sure of this, that no one but Peter and Jesus know what happened. It was a private meeting. It was a meeting for them. Peter heard this word addressed to him. A special word of comfort and grace. And then he met with Jesus. And he was changed. And I think that's what we need to do. When the Lord's word comes to us, we then need to go into a quiet place and meet with our Lord. And listen to him, and talk to him, and allow him to have his dealings with us. Thank God for a Savior who is so infinitely kind and loving and understanding. Who was thinking about this lonely, confused, heartbroken, unhappy man? And knew that a general message wouldn't be enough. But Peter needed a word for himself. And he's still the same Savior. And if we will listen to him, he will speak his own words to us at those moments when we most need to hear them. Amen. Let us pray in prayer. We thank you, O God, for the Bible, your word, which in every sentence and syllable is for every one of us. But Father, this morning we would thank you especially for those times when your word touches us very personally and individually. When we realize that you are communicating with us, that you are speaking to one of your children, or one whom you plan to draw to yourself. Father, thank you that out of the same word given to all, there may be many individual messages and applications. We pray, O God, that today and week by week as we meet together and day by day as we read your word, we may be listening for your voice. And that your word will come today to any in particular need. That they will hear you, O God, speaking their name, calling them by name, and assuring them as individuals of the sufficiency of Christ and of his grace. And grant, O God, that they may meet with their Savior, and in that meeting be transformed and blessed. We pray in his name. Amen.